I wasn't afraid to fail. And as a matter of fact, I never even looked at failure as failure. I looked at it as a learning process. Mm. Like, if things didn't go my way, I was like, all right, I'm going to learn from it, whether it was on the court or off the court.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the biggest things, you know, don't be afraid to fail, man.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Travis Chappell, and I believe that if you can connect with the best, you can become the best. So after creating 800 podcast episodes about building your network, I've come to realize that networking is really just making friends, if you're doing it the right way anyway. Join me as I make friends with world-class athletes like Shaquille O'Neal, entertainers like Rob Dyrdek, authors like Dr. Nicole LaPera, former presidents like Vicente Fox, or even the occasional FBI hostage negotiator, billionaire real estate mogul, or polarizing political figure. So if you want to make more friends that help you become a better version of yourself, then subscribe to the show and keep on listening, because this is Travis Makes Friends. Today, I'm making friends with Paul Pierce. How many people can say that they faced off against and defeated both LeBron James and Kobe Bryant in the same championship playoff run? Not many, but Paul Pierce can. I love this conversation with the legendary Hall of Famer. We discussed so many things in this episode that I can't wait for you to hear, including me kind of calling him out for being a Boston Celtic. So the thing is, he used to be a Laker fan, then he became a Celtic, and now he lives back in LA. And I asked him the question that I think everybody has, which is, well, are you a Laker fan or are you a Celtic fan? Being a Laker fan growing up, watching the Showtime Lakers, and then playing in Boston all those years, and then now living in LA, I had to ask the question. I couldn't help myself. So you're definitely going to want to hear his answer to that question. And we talked about excellence, how to become world-class at what it is that you do. And Paul Pierce is definitely one of those people that understands that concept to its fullest extent. So please, without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Paul Pierce. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the show. Today, I'm sitting down in studio with Paul Pierce. What's up, dude? Thanks so much for joining me on the show, man. Appreciate you taking the time. On the show, we like to reverse engineer world-class performers and try to at least instill some principles back into the minds of people that are listening, checking this out so they can apply it in whatever else, you know, they got going on.
Gotcha.
But before we do that, I always like to take it back and maybe talk about some stuff that you don't normally get to talk about. So let's rewind the clock. 9-year-old, 10-year-old Paul Pierce. set the scene, man. What was life like for you? 9, 10 years old.
19 years old, man, life was easy. My mom cooked for me every day, dropped me off at school. I had no responsibilities, and I could just play in the park all day.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? A little bit easier back then.
Yeah. Didn't have to worry about taxes or kids or anything.
Yeah, that's true. Taxes, man. Oh, man, fuck that. Okay, so 9, 10 years old. Oh, where'd you grow up?
I was born in Oakland, California, but raised in Inglewood.
Down right next to where we are right now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
At what point as a kid did basketball become the thing for you?
What point did basketball become the thing? Because when I was a kid, I played all sports. I was into baseball, football. I was just out there with my friends. But I think when I really started to take it serious, I have to say my sophomore year.
Okay.
I went from like a 6-foot one freshman, then I grew 3 inches that summer.
Oh, jeez.
And then I was just like, I quit all the other sports. Yeah. I was just like, just mainly started concentrating on basketball. When I knew I could dunk, I was like, you know what, maybe basketball. it could be the sport.
This is kind of fun.
You know, so I think that's when I really started taking this serious, because I dropped all the other sports because my first love was baseball, to be honest.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I love football too. Basketball was kind of like my third love, but majority of my friends play basketball. And so, and then I grew, and so I stuck with basketball. So
yeah, no
turned
kidding.
Turned out all right.
I like basketball. I played a lot of basketball as a kid, I think, because it was like one of the easiest sports to play by yourself.
Yeah, it didn't cost anything.
Yeah, right, you know right. You just get a basketball.
And then you don't have to go get a helmet or...
You don't have to have 12 people on the court.
Exactly. Right. So it was the most cost-efficient.
You don't have somebody like throw the ball at you. Like exactly. You literally just grab a ball and go shoot. Yeah. So you don't have a bunch of people. Just easy.
Yeah, you can go by yourself.
Yeah.
Everything else, you needed another person.
Right. Was it intentional for you to go all the way to the pros at that point? Or was it just like, I really like basketball, let's see how far this can take me?
Man, I think it was just like short-term goals back then, because a lot of kids where I grew up in just wasn't even going to college. It was just like, man, if I could use this to go to college, because I got two other brothers that got scholarships playing sports. My oldest brother got a scholarship to play basketball in Wyoming, and my other middle brother had a scholarship playing baseball Fresno State. So my thing was, I got to see if I can, you know, live up to what my older brothers did. The expectation is, can I, you know, play a sport in college? Can I get a scholarship? Was I good enough for that? So before the NBA dream became, it was just like trying to just get to college.
And,
you know, because a lot of kids in my neighborhood, they didn't get to college. You know, a lot of the kids either ended up working or you're doing things they didn't want to do.
Right. Right.
They had to.
Right.
It was an options thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you remember the point where you felt like it's different for me? Like I feel like I'm at the point right now where I could see this becoming something, or did that not happen until you were already playing college?
No, man, actually after my junior year in high school. So my junior year, I just kind of like exploded. Like I'm talking about 0 to 100.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I wound up getting player of the year in California over like seniors, guys who were seniors, who were all Americans.
Wow.
McDonald's all Americans. And so I got Southern California player of the year as a junior. You know,
do you attribute that to anything or just like,
I attribute that to my hard work. I think it's the dedication too.
Yeah.
You know, I got up at 5 a.m. to catch the bus to get to school at 6 a.m. to work on my game, to go to class sweaty.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And just to, you know, that's how serious I took it at that point.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, when you grow up where I grew up, man, you have friends who've been murdered and you just try to stay out the street life, you know, because it's all around you. And
a lot of
distractions. I got up at 5 a.m. just to get to school, just to play ball.
There's full-grown adults who still won't do that.
know? But then a lot of times, like if you got on the 7 or 30 bus, it was a little rowdy. So I was just like, this makes sense. I'm gonna just get to the gym, get on the bus early before everybody wake up.
Yeah, right. So you start excelling, right? Mm-hmm. Like you start seeing the fruits of your labor, the results of your hard work, because you start taking off over and above what everybody else is doing. At that time, if you're that high ranked of a player, what are you thinking in your mind as a 16-year-old kid that's getting all of this, you know, attention?
I could probably go to a big time college and thrive.
Really? So still not even thinking pros?
It's still not even thinking pro yet.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I just want to go to a big time college and thrive and, you know, possibly be a starter, play on national television.
Yeah. And then be like an accountant or something.
You know, and then, you know, I think it's all about sometimes about your short term goals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, of course you want to have in the back of my mind, I want to be a pro, but it was just like, all right, let me conquer this goal. Let me take my baby steps. And then, you know, I can focus on that long term dream.
Yeah. So you get to college. What was your major?
I majored in criminal justice.
Okay.
I wanted to do something in law enforcement. I wanted to be like FBI agent or police, something along detective or something along those lines.
Yeah. So at what point were you like, nah, basketball?
You know? Well, I believed I could go. After my freshman year, I was like, I really got an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of the top freshmen in the country. And I was just like, oh, this really can really happen for me. You know, as long as I stay on the straight and narrow path and stay focused.
How did you do that, dude? That's tough for anybody, right?
I went to Kansas, so, you know, being from LA, going to Kansas, it's just like...
I guess that's fair,
For it to happen, I just stayed out there.
Yeah, that's
in the summertime.
Yeah. You know what are you doing in Kansas? Yeah.
It's nothing to do. It's nothing to do but poop and go to school.
I come home
for like a week, see my mom, and I'm back to Kansas.
That's fair. You know, you have to go wander in some fields for a while. Yeah, there's nothing to do out there, man.
Nothing to do. You come to LA a whole summer, it's... so much to do, so many distractions.
Right, right.
I was like, man, I'm going to stay in Kansas.
That's a good call, dude. That was a good call. Probably that one
straight
decision.
Up.
You know, but honestly, like there's such a huge lesson there, because you hear so often when people do kind of fall into the traps or fall into distractions. And I think a lot of times it comes down to your environment, and people tend to start blaming their environment. And I understand that some situations are different than other situations. I'm not saying this is a blanket statement, but a lot of times if you're an adult anyway, you have the ability to at least control your environment where you spend your time.
You got to put yourself in the best position.
Like, right.
They always say, if you want to be smarter, hang around smarter people.
Right.
You
want to
be successful, hang around. I mean, it's a true statement.
Right.
Man. You want to be great at something, you got to hang around other people that's great and, you know, learn from them.
Yeah. If you know you have a tendency to be distracted, then put yourself in a place where there's no distractions.
I knew that about me. I knew if I came home, I'd be with my friends, hanging out, doing this or that, whatever.
Right.
But right. I knew if I just stay put, I'm going to do what nothing else to do but this.
That has to be the difference, right? Because we've been talking about this with a couple of people lately, where if you get to that level of college basketball, everybody's good.
Yeah.
Right? Like everybody's a good basketball player. The difference between that and then like the NBA is the mentality and the extra work that you're willing to put in when those people are enjoying their college years or making the decision to go back home and hang out with their friends or go to the parties or drink or whatever else is on the table. And you didn't do that. And that gave you that ability to like separate yourself even further from a pack of people who are already the best in the world at what they do.
I mean, you got to equal your talent with your work, your hard work.
Yeah.
So if you're like already one of the most talented players, you got to match that with hard work.
Yeah.
You know, so many times I've seen so many players who are so talented, but didn't put the hard work in. And, you know, only the great ones, like you look at Kobe Bryant, he was so talented, but he matched it with his hard work, his dedication. Yeah. And those are the truly great ones when they were able to match their talent with the hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. Put you up in that category as well, man. Like you changed the game for a lot of people. So you coming out of, started, you know, spending your summers in Kansas, in the middle of nowhere, playing basketball.
Best thing I could have been, though.
At what point are you like, I'm making it? Like this is actually going to happen. Was that a big moment, not just for you, but for the rest of your family?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, once I saw myself on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a sophomore, I was like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
This could really happen, man. I'm telling you. And then, you know, you got people who are going to be gassing you up, talking like, man, you this, you that. But you see, you don't always listen to that and rest on what you've already accomplished. You want to go further. You're like, all right, I know I can make it.
Yeah.
All right. So now I'm already projected to make it. Now I'm like, hold on. I want to be the number one pick now. That's what I'm thinking. Like, all right, I got to go hard because now I'm projected to be what? 16 to 20. All right, hold on. I need to work my way up to be projected to be a number one pick.
Yeah, of course. You know,
that's the reason I didn't leave my sophomore year. I was projected to go between 6 and 17.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to come back one more year because I think I could be the number one pick. And that was my mindset. Because I wanted to be the number one pick. Now, I didn't become the number one pick.
Yeah.
I ended up the 10th pick, but that even fueled me more. You know what?
Right.
It's 9 players that think better than me. All right.
Yeah. Let's see. Ask me in a decade.
Right.
When you're in your rookie season, did you play any of the people that beat you in the draft and have that kind of a feeling?
Yeah, you play. Yeah, well, it wasn't about the players. It was about the general managers. It was about the coaches, you know, because them are the guys who work.
They were making the picks.
Who making the decisions. So I want them to know when, dang, we had a chance to draft him.
Yeah, right.
And we didn't.
Right. Like the Kobe thing.
We set
like
our
the,
franchise yeah. back 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Now, and they did.
You know what pleased me the most is seeing those guys get fired.
Making
bad decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, that was like more satisfaction for me. I was like, all right, he got fired after my first 3 years. I think he seen me.
I'm still doing pretty well. So
I'm still climbing the charts.
Oh man. So NBA career, I mean, legendary NBA career, man. Congrats on all the success that you were able to accomplish with you, your teammates, and the amazing squads that you guys put together. I have to confess, I didn't like you for quite a while. I'm a Lakers fan from LA area and, you know, Boston. Yeah. And you're from LA, right? So growing up, were you looking at that being like, when you put on a Boston jersey, did it feel weird for you, like coming from Inglewood?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it felt weird for me when they called my name in the draft room. I mean, it's no secret. I'm a Laker fan. I grew up right here in Inglewood where the Lakers play.
Yeah.
My idol was Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And so that was like, out of all the teams, 30 teams, this is the one team. This is the one team that I don't want to go to or play for.
So funny.
And that's what makes it so ironic.
Yeah.
And then this is the one team I end up playing against in the finals.
Yeah, right.
And so it's everything come full circle. It's like, man, by the way, I'm making a documentary about this. By the way, so
are you?
You know, yeah,
awesome.
So I'm working
awesome.
On that right now. So look out for it.
Yeah, when does that come out?
We pitching it right now. So.
Okay. There you go.
It's in the works.
Well, I'm sure I'll be sitting on my couch watching it sometime real soon, dude. And I will definitely be watching that because like,
the truth, nothing but the truth.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's awesome, dude. So those are the kind of stuff that you think about like when you never have the chance of making it to something like that. But mm-hmm. It's got to be just this crazy thing to be like on the team that you were actively rooting against, putting on the jersey, and then also bringing home more championships and banners to put in you know that in that arena as well. Oh man, that's so funny. So you said Magic was your idol growing up.
Yeah.
How come?
I mean, I'm right here. I got his poster on my wall. I mean, Showtime, LA, they winning championships. I mean, how could you even be from LA and not be a Lakers fan? How could you not be?
Especially during those years, man. Yeah.
I mean, that was the most exciting time for NBA that you could think of. You got one of the most electrifying, polarizing, iconic players to ever play the game. And you get to see him on TV and it's your home team every night. I mean, that was amazing. I remember when I first saw him in person, I was just like, whoa, that's Magic. And I'm a kid. They practiced at my high school because, you know, back then in the early 90s, they didn't have practice facilities. Mm-hmm. So I had a chance to see Magic and then jump in his Mercedes Benz. And I'm like,
that's the guy right there.
That's the guy right there, man. So now like when I'm out here and I'm in LA or Boston everywhere, you know, I try to take a picture with every kid or sign an autograph because I know if I could have did that with my idol, that would have been it. But I had a chance to meet him. So it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool, man. And you can obviously see his influence in your game as well. He has a really similar, like you were one of those players that was just always all around. You could do every single thing. And that's what made Magic so great.
Absolutely.
Is that he wasn't just a scorer. He was a world class at so many things, you know. Yeah. When you were in the league, who did you view as like, these are our biggest rivals?
I mean, obviously like the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, but if you have to look into the Eastern Conference, Detroit, Philadelphia, I think coming out, my personal rivalry was with probably Vince Carter because we was playing the same position. We was in the same draft. And so like a personal rival early on was probably between, he got rookie of the year over me. I was kind of pissed at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, just those are a few as far as teams and personal rivals.
And then you guys put together Big Three in Boston and then you play against Big Three down in South Beach. Another rivalry.
Personal rivalry with LeBron. Obviously, I had a lot of great battles with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the time, you know, when Miami put together that Big Three with Wade, Bosh, and LeBron, we was too old for them guys. Yeah. I mean, they were all in their prime.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you just knew that team was going to be special.
Yeah.
And so, but thank God we... You know, I think if we were younger, I don't know. You're all the same.
You know, it would have been entertaining as hell. Yeah, it already was entertaining as hell. Yeah, but if put you all in your prime,
right.
give an even playing field. Yeah,
that'd have been interesting.
Were there any times that you look back on when you were playing and it, like now, and you think to yourself, like, I didn't realize what was happening. Like, I didn't realize how awesome that was, or I didn't realize how incredible this was. And now that I'm like removed from it, I can look back and have this different appreciation for that moment.
I think the whole journey, you look at it like that.
Yeah.
Because like when you're in it, you know, you're just in it. You're playing, you're putting in the work, it's busy. You're waking up in the summer, getting ready to continue the journey to be one of the best. And you don't realize it until it's over. And you look back and I was like, damn, I played 19 years. Wow. I won championship. I won a 3-point contest. I did. You know, you don't look at it like that. You know, you don't look at it until it's all over. You know, I made the Hall of Fame. I'm like, wow, top 75 player. Yeah. It's all just starting to hit me now.
Yeah.
Right. Like now.
Right.
I've been retired like 5 years now.
Yeah.
And you start to see the impact you still had on kids who watch you on YouTube, who probably didn't see you live. You know, you're seeing my kids come up to me and say, you call game on certain, you know, when I made the famous quote after I hit a game winner. And it's like, and you didn't even see that game. You probably watched it on YouTube. And so you don't really see your impact until it's over.
Yeah,
so I'm glad I was able to make an impact on the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I think you were definitely one of those players who was able to do that. Like that. It's already hard enough to make it and play D1 college basketball. It's already hard enough to make it and just be on a roster for a professional basketball team. But then to be able to excel even beyond that, win championships, have an impact on the game, NBA top 75, like all these crazy things that have happened. I have to assume that when you're done, there's got to be almost this sense of like, well, shit, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Right? Like, did that hit you at all, like, when you retired?
Well, I mean, I know I wanted to spend time with my kids. Mm. I mean, that was one. But then I ended up getting into analyst work with ESPN. So that was like my calling next.
Yeah.
Which went on for like 3 years, which is great. But now, you know, as a retired player, I love enjoying life now. Mm. You know, yeah. I travel. You know, I got my investments. I'm in the cannabis business. I do some tech investments, trucking and stuff of that nature. I spend time with my kids.
Yeah.
And I get a chance to travel.
Yeah.
So enjoy life, because throughout the process of playing, you don't get a chance to enjoy your life.
Sure.
You're waking up, like I said, I've been waking up at some 5 a.m. from the time I was 14 all the way to the time I was retired.
Right. Right.
In the off season.
You're just staying in Kansas instead of going to LA. Yeah. Yeah. Right,
so now
right.
I'm like, I'm enjoying life now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, man. And obviously still working on a bunch of other projects and things like that. You got this documentary in the works and some other things. Seen you on a bunch of podcasts. Saw you on my friend Matt Barnes' show the other day, All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and those guys. And so still doing a bunch of other stuff like that. Where do you think the NBA is headed right now?
I think the NBA is in a great place, man. I mean, I know LeBron is getting older. He's been the face of the league for so many years.
Yeah.
When you look at these young up-and-coming superstars, Nikola Jokic.
Dude, it's crazy. It seems like they're all over.
I mean,
Devin Booker.
But you got to see, look at this. Have you know the international players are the
studs.
Best players
yeah.
now.
Luka.
Giannis.
I love watching Luka, dude. He's so good.
Giannis, Luka, Joker. These guys are studs.
Yeah.
And yeah. Ja Morant. And so, you know, the league is in great hands with all the young superstars. Like you said, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
These guys. And so I'm excited for this generation who's next in line. Awesome to see that the guys are passing the torch, you know. Even though Curry and Durant, LeBron, they're still top players.
They're formidable.
Eventually, eventually the young guys are going to take over. So the league is in good hands.
Yeah. Where are you at on the L.A. Boston thing? You're back because you're back in L.A. now, right?
Yeah.
You grew up being an L.A. fan. LA, you played for Boston for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you?
I'm a Boston fan.
Gotta be.
I'm a Boston fan.
Gotta be.
I go to Boston games. I still cheer them on. You know, my jersey's retired in there.
You can't, you can't abandon shit, bro. Yeah.
I bleed green.
Oh, man. I had to ask. Okay. So the show's all about reverse engineering world-class performers and trying to distill some lessons for people that are for watching or listening. If you were to look back at your career, what do you think the maybe, you know, one or two differentiating principles, things that you lived by that nobody else was doing that enabled you to be able to stand out from everybody else and build quite literally a world-class career?
Primarily for me, I wasn't afraid to fail.
That's a big one, man.
And as a matter of fact, I never even looked at failure as failure. I looked at it as a learning process. Mm. Like if things didn't go my way, I was like, all right, I'm going to learn from it, whether it was on the court or off the court.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the biggest thing. You know, don't be afraid to fail, man.
Yeah.
Just make it a learning process, grow from it, and become better. It'll make you stronger in the long run. And nobody's perfect. Everybody fails at something. You
exactly.
don't get to a certain point.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to learn from it. If you don't learn from your failures, then you ain't going in the right direction.
You're not ever going to get to the next step.
It's
like if you don't know where you're going, how do you expect to get there without failing?
Just don't be afraid to. Don't be afraid to put yourself out on a limb in a good way.
Yeah.
Put yourself on the line.
Take the risk.
Take the risk.
Yeah, I got to commend you on that, man, because like it's easy for me to sit here and say it because at every single level, failure exists. But when you're in a fishbowl and you have millions of people all over the world that are like, you know, they're either cheering you on or they're talking shit or, you know, they love you, they hate you. They have opinions. They don't have it. Like, there's just so many, there's so many distractions at that level that like, I would not be able to understand being like, you know, a entrepreneur and podcaster where I am. But it's like, it's easy for me to be like, oh yeah, you know, forget, you know, failure and move forward, you know, but that's why I love hearing it from somebody like you, because like when you failed, everybody saw.
Yeah.
Right. Like when you hit an obstacle, the whole world was there in the stands with freaking like popcorn and beer, you know, watching the whole thing go down. So hearing that from you is, I think, is so much more impactful than coming from somebody else, because like when you talk about it, like you have the experience there, but then you also have the experience to be like, but then next season we came back.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's that process of just like building in a habit to just get back up again and keep going.
Yep. Absolutely.
What's got you excited these days, man?
I don't know. Just being able to spend the time with my kids.
Yeah.
Like I said, because people don't understand how much you sacrifice when you're in the game.
Yeah.
You know, there's times I miss the first step for my kids you know, a birthday.
Right.
You know, or not being home for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, people don't understand those sacrifices when you play for so long and so many years. And
right.
And so I guess the biggest thing is, you know, being able to spend time with family.
Yeah.
Being able to see the world. Being able to do things I couldn't do when I played. You know, I went skiing a couple of years ago. You know, the contract,
yeah.
You can't go ski.
Right, right.
You can't go snowboard.
They got to protect their asset,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so I'm doing things that I wasn't able to do when I played. And I'm having fun, man.
Yeah. How did you like skiing?
It was fun, man. I plan on going this year at the end of the year again. It's like going to be an annual thing for me.
Dude, same. We're planning a trip right now because like I grew up in Southern California in the desert. I don't know if you know where Lancaster is.
Yeah, I know
where that's Lancaster. Where I grew up. So 661 shout out. So I grew up there, desert, right? I moved to Vegas, desert. So we're every Christmas now, we try to go find somewhere that has snow and take the family so we can actually like be around white stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, my son, he goes snowboarding. I mean, we enjoy it, man. I mean,
I got to ask you parenting advice, dude. So my son is 3 and my daughter's 20 months. So anytime I talk to somebody who's a more experienced parent than I am on the show, I got to ask, like, what's the biggest advice or lessons you've learned as a parent?
Make sure you childproof the house. I mean, like,
that's some real practical share out there.
For real,
speaking from personal experience on that one.
Make sure you childproof it. Oh my God. Just from, oh, I mean, you got the one, especially the 3-year-old, you're at the stage where she's grabbing everything.
Yeah.
Off the table, opening drawers, opening cabinets, opening the refrigerator, taking stuff out, putting it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got a 1.5-year-old around. I'm like, I'm glad I learned from the other ones. You know, get some gates. Put in the doorways.
Yeah.
Put some gates in the doorways, small gates.
Oh, that's so funny, dude. That is not where I thought that question was going to go, but it is a fantastic answer because like you said, you don't realize it. Like you don't realize that like you don't know not to do that.
Right.
Like you will seriously injure yourself. Like you shouldn't drink that poison under the sink. Like don't touch that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me sometimes how we
oven button. Yeah. Oh man.
It's amazing to me sometimes how we like haven't killed all of ourselves like as babies. Like like you didn't. Yeah. I'm just lucky if my kids make it to the point where they can think for themselves a little bit, you know, where I can put some of the blame on them.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, listen, dude, I appreciate you taking the time. Like I said, at the end here, I wanted to give you an opportunity just to kind of plug whatever you're working on, see where people can find more about you.
Check out my documentary coming soon, Paul Pierce, The Truth. Cannabis brand, The Truth 34. Look out for it in the cemeteries. You know,
Truth
34. E2 Trucking. Hey, I'm everywhere with it. I got my hands a little everywhere. So.
Love it, dude. Love it. Appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, man.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for spending some time with me and my friends. If you want to be better friends with me, then head over to travischappell.com/team to subscribe to my free newsletter, Your Friend Travis, where I share what's on my mind about life, building a business, raising kids, being married, and anything else I would normally share with my close circle of friends. That's travischappell.com/team. And my biggest ask of you, since I'm sharing my friends with you, is to share this episode with a friend of yours that hasn't listened to the show yet, and leave us a quick 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts and in Spotify. It would mean the world to us as it helps us make sure that this show continues to be more valuable to you. Thanks in advance, and I'll catch you on the next episode.